I didn't actually totally follow what's happening. So you're growing the bugs by themselves and together and looking at the molecules that you get?
This is BAL data.
Okay.
So it's lavage data, and we've looked at the headspace of that. In fact, if we pause this a little bit more, when we look at the molecular data, the differentiation is better, because not everything that grows out in the clinic is something that, excuse me, not everything that is present is grown out in the clinic. So I was using this as an example of saying, you know, if you try to look at CF, I'm kind of underscoring the point you were making before.
Yeah.
If you try to grow Pseudomonas and then look for those molecules in human breath, you probably will find some.
Yeah.
However, if you don't consider the context, in this case CF, where it's growing with all of its friends and cousins and all that kind of stuff, then you're probably missing the point. So I argue for a forward way of thinking from in vitro to in vivo, but also the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah, the clinical context part.
Yeah, but it is it's a surprisingly clear grouping based on clinical culture data.
Especially for a lavage, which is a relatively dilute, short contact time sample.
Are they adults or kids?
So this is a study of 13 different CF centers. They range from several months old all the way through to about 42 years with all sorts of lung, you know, functions. And the statistics on that show that we're not co-correlating with any of these things. So these are, as far as we can tell, real differences. It's kind of cool.
I wonder if the Pseudomonas patients are generally older, so it's partly also...
No, we did that, yeah, so we looked at, covariance in that particular way and co-correlation, I guess, and, sadly, some of the younger people also had Pseudomonas.
Right.
Yeah, so we age-matched and that kind of stuff. It's just a screenshot of the study.
Yes.
Wait, let me see if there's anybody else. Yes.
No,
for sure. I mean, lots and lots of patients. We do work all over the world. The instrumentation is expensive, so if you're going to do something in the discovery way, you're looking at $500,000 setup costs just for the instrument, let alone running it. But breathing into a tube, we work in some very poor areas in South Africa, and all the patient needs to be able to do in order to participate is breathe, which hopefully they're doing. So then we can collect that sample and we get them shipped. So collecting is easy. Now, people in here, I don't know, Jens is not here anymore, have these systems that allow you to do real-time analysis. They're still fairly expensive. But the end goal is, and we're not at the end goal, we're discoverers, is that you know what you're looking for, and then you can either have a handheld system or a centralized system, for sure. There's one over there. Please, and I think I probably have to wrap up, maybe.
For the 20 chemicals that you identified for tuberculosis, could you say a little bit about the chemical identity? Are they grouped around a certain functional group, or?
So the question was the identity of those biomarkers and the others, as well, for those who might be interested. Yes, I do know the identity. No, I'm not going to tell you all of them, but I will tell you the functional groups. So they range from being hydrocarbons to things that are oxidized, so ketones, aldehydes, less so, probably considered the less stable. I think mostly they fall into the ketone and hydrocarbon categories. Yeah. I can give you a little more detail later, but not all the detail. So the question is on concentration. There's a few different ways to answer that. Concentration can be important because we have to consider limited detection. And the way, so we're doing this semi-quantitatively. We can spike things in and we can look for amounts. The additional question that you want to know as a clinician is also the cell load of the bug in the patient. And so we try and combine a knowledge of our detection limit analytically as well as what might be relevant clinically. So if you have any TB or you want to know about it, our detection limit is never going to be one bug. And for Pseudomonas, depending on the situation, it may be that you only need to detect above 10 to the 3 or 10 to the 4 organisms, depending on the so far we've been able to see everything that we've called a biomarker, but we've not looked at thousands of patients, just hundreds. And I probably need to end. Yes, thank you.
Thanks.